WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Democratic convention is being held in Denver for a good reason. The Democrats hope to win the state of Colorado, even though George W. Bush won the state twice. In the new edition of The New Yorker, my guest Ryan Lizza writes about the Democrats' Western strategy and why the Democrats think they stand a better chance of winning red states in the West than the South. He points out that since 2002, Democrats have replaced Republican governors in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arizona. Lizza previously joined us to discuss his New Yorker article about Obama's early political career in Chicago. Lizza is in Denver now covering the convention. Ryan Lizza, welcome back to Fresh Air. Now, Colorado has a Democratic governor, Bill Ritter, who'll speak Thursday at the convention. And you say that he may be in the vanguard of what the National Democratic Party is becoming, both in its demographics and its policies. What are some of the parts of his strategy that Democrats consider to be possibly applicable to the Obama campaign?
You know, one of the reasons he may be in the vanguard is because of where he is. Look, the Southwest, the Intermountain West, is where a lot of the future growth of America is. There was a Brookings report that called it the new American heartland. These states are booming out here, areas around Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Denver. And he's sort of picked the lock of the Colorado electorate and figured out how to win, and not just win, but win it by a huge margin out here. He won by 17 points. And the basic way he did it was he looked at the electorate and saw that the two big groups of opportunity for him were what he called government pragmatists and moral pragmatists. You know, the big piece of the electorate that is growing the fastest in Colorado are independents, people who don't declare allegiance to either party. And he won among these two groups, one, by stressing a basic pragmatism about how to govern, and two, and this can't be ignored, and this sort of complicates the equation out here, he's pro-life, and he cut into a group of voters who care about religious issues, although they don't care about them so much that they wouldn't consider voting for a Democratic candidate. And out here, it's about 15% of the electorate, and as a pro-life person, he carved into that group. That's not the only way to win out here. So it's not to say that just because he was pro-life was the only way he won. But the electorate is complicated enough and growing fast enough that the Democrats can sort of put together interesting coalitions that they couldn't put together in the South.
When Howard Dean announced that the convention would be in Denver, he referred to a memo that was written by Gary Hart, the former Colorado senator. And the memo was called Manifesto Democrats in the West. What was the Gary Hart manifesto about the West?
He had basically three big points. One was that the Democrats had to think about private property rights in a slightly new way. He recommended that Democrats pick up on the strain of libertarianism that is still very strong in the West. And one of the intriguing recommendations was that he believed that Democrats should come out and condemn the Kahlo decision. That was the Supreme Court decision that allowed the government to seize private property in the name of economic development. And very unpopular with libertarians, naturally. And he thought the Democratic Party, if they wanted to succeed in the West, should come out against that. His other recommendations were to be a little bit smarter about talking about resource development and conservation. You know, resource issues are hugely important in the West, especially as the population grows. And he had a lot of recommendations about Democrats not defining themselves too far on the left when it comes to environmentalism, but being sort of ruthlessly pragmatic when issues of conservation and development come up. And then the final recommendation, and this is different than Ritter's strategy, is he recommended that, unlike the South, where you talk about these values issues, and Democrats are so obsessed these days with values and appearing religious, he recommended that instead they talk about principles, the argument being that values has a religious connotation, whereas principles has a secular connotation. And instead of talking about religious values, you know, talking about things like honor and integrity and courage and accountability. Those are the sort of three core recommendations.
You know, in talking about the Western strategy for the Democratic Party, you have to acknowledge that the West has some pretty major demographic differences from the rest of the country. What are some of those demographic differences that come into play on the political scene?
Well, there are a few things. One, the moral issues play a little bit differently out here. Unlike the South, evangelical Christianity does not dominate. So voters that care about some of those issues, that they're not as high a priority as in other parts of the country. Number two, the racial dynamics in the Western states are totally different than on the East and the South. And for one very obvious reason, there's no history of slavery in these states. And the recent history is not as fraught, and there's not as much racial tension, black-white racial tension, as you find in some Eastern and Southern states. And the other racial factor is the growing Hispanic population out here, which is becoming increasingly Democratic after a slight flirtation with Bush in 2000 and 2004. And then the final thing is, one intriguing part of the party structure out here is the parties are newer and there's not as much attachment to either party. So if you're going to sort of look to a state to reinvent your party and to sort of experiment with what your party is going to be, doing it in the West is a lot easier than doing it in the East because these parties are younger, there's not as much political patronage, and there's not as much interest group control over the parties. So these Western parties are a little bit easier to use as laboratories.
So if the Democratic Party took this kind of Western strategy, how would the party look different?
Well, I think that's the interesting question here, is if the Democrats, and it appears that this is the direction they're going, if they really do become a Western party and oriented towards the West, that will fundamentally, over time, change the party. And it arguably will become more attuned to the interests of Hispanics rather than African Americans, because that's a key swing group out here. It will arguably be more attuned to the sort of upper-income, Democratic-leaning independents who are exploding in the suburbs rather than the sort of working-class lunch-bucket Democrats that dominate in the Rust Belt states and on the East Coast, because the economy out here, it's on the sort of the vanguard of the post-industrial economy rather than the old economy. And it will become perhaps a little less oriented towards labor because the labor movement is not as strong out here.
So what does the choice of Joe Biden as Obama's vice presidential running mate say to you about the Western strategy and the demographics of the Midwest and the East versus the New West?
Well, I mean, one of the interesting demographic puzzles that Obama has to figure out in this campaign is he's looking at two swing state areas, the Midwest and the Intermountain West. And the demographics in those two places and the voters he needs to win over in those two places are very, very different. I mean, the way Gary Hart put it in an interview was, as a Democrat, when you go to the Midwest and these Rust Belt states, you know, you're trying to win over the old economy voters. You're trying to win over voters who have had the worst luck in the sort of wrenching changes that the American economy is going through. When you get to states like Colorado and New Mexico and Nevada, these are states that are benefiting from the new economy. Now, Joe Biden fits the profile a little bit more of the lunch bucket Democrat. I mean, he comes from Scranton, Pennsylvania, working class family. And I think one of the hopes of the Obama campaign is that he'll appeal to some of these working class whites that Obama has had trouble with. But overall, I really think that the Biden choice was more about his experience and foreign policy credentials and filling that gap for Obama than any specific demographic that he might help Obama with. He's the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Obama basically picked the guy most associated with foreign policy expertise in the Democratic Party.
My guest is Ryan Lizza. His article about the Democrats' Western strategy is in the new edition of The New Yorker. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ryan Lizza. He's a Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. His article about the Democrats' Western strategy is in the new edition of the magazine. What are some of the things you're going to be listening for at the Democratic Convention?
You know, the story in Denver early on this week continues to be the split between Hillary and Obama. And just to tie this all together, to go back to these sort of two different demographic coalitions, if you think about the primaries, Obama was the guy who rallied, to simplify greatly, the new economy voters. Hillary was the person who rallied the old economy voters. The voters who have had the least success with the changes in the economy tended to vote for her. The voters who were succeeding in the new economy tended to vote for Obama. And it was, you know, the voters who needed more from government tended to vote for Hillary Clinton. There was a divide based on education level and income level, and the voters who were higher income, higher education level, tended to vote for Obama, and voters with lower income and less education tended to vote for Hillary. And that's a classic divide in the Democratic Party. Sometimes Democratic strategists call it the wine track and the beer track. And Obama was the candidate of the wine track. Hillary was the candidate of the beer track. Now, this divide goes back, you know, years and years. I mean, Gary Hart, in an interview, told me, you know, that was the same divide that he had in 1984 against Fritz Mondale. Mondale being the old economy guy, Hart being the new economy guy. Now, the difference this time around was, one, there are more of those new economy voters now, but also Obama had huge support from the African American community. That was one of the major changes that made him able to put together a winning coalition.
Any final thoughts at the start of the Democratic convention?
Well, one of the stories that I can't get out of my head, and that I'll be thinking about Thursday when I watch Obama, is how far this guy has come in such a short period of time. And I know everyone knows that generally, but just think about this: we all remember Obama in 2004 at the Democratic convention, with the famous speech that sort of launched his presidential campaign in a way. Well, just 4 years before that, in 2000, he was also at a Democratic convention. 2000 was sort of the low point of Obama's political career, if not his life. He had just come off a losing congressional race where he was crushed by Bobby Rush, and he was in debt. His relationship with his wife wasn't going all that well because she never wanted him to run for that congressional seat in the first place, and he was thinking about leaving politics altogether. A friend of his encouraged him to take a shot and go out to Los Angeles to the Democratic convention and maybe do a little bit of networking. Well, Obama, who didn't have a whole lot of money, found a cheap flight on Southwest, the low-budget airline. He got out there. Turned out he couldn't get any credentials to get into the Democratic convention in 2000. And then he went to rent a car, and his credit card was declined. And as he said in the past, one time he's told the story, he said sarcastically, you know, it wasn't really a high point of my life. So you just think about the guy who couldn't get into the convention and couldn't even rent a car is now, 8 years later, the Democratic nominee for president.
Ryan Lizza, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Ryan Lizza spoke to us from Denver. His article about the Democrats' Western strategy is in the new edition of The New Yorker. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.